It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yes, indeed, we are off and running for this first broadcast of the month of May, 2021. This is The Horn, headon.live. This is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. We are up and running, and the packets are passing both at headon.live and whiterosesociety.org. And thank you very kindly for letting me know that everything is working smoothly. The stream is all clear. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And, you know, I guess it seems that standard disclaimer season has arrived a little early here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan. And so the standard disclaimer applies. If this program should suddenly end or should suddenly disappear from broadcasting, it'll be because of the rickety old coal-fried power grid of Appalachian Power has given up the ghost because it's thundered or lightning somewhere. And usually when it thunders, it lightnings too. So, you know, science. Hi, I'm Robin. And it is Moran Monday on the Horn. And we will get to those in short order, no doubt about it. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend, a wonderful weekend. I certainly did. As I mentioned on Friday on the front porch, I barbecued. I smoked, actually. Barbecuing is kind of a nebulous term when you get right down to it. I mean, does that mean throwing hot dogs and weenies on the grill or grinding your own sausage? I don't know. But in my case, it was a matter of sitting up the better part of Friday night into Saturday morning and patiently tending the smoker. And the acorn for the first run of spring 2021 behaved spectacularly. It held 200 degrees Fahrenheit for hour after hour after hour after hour and produced a pair of lovingly rubbed butts. I mean, let's just go ahead and take the program right into the gutter. It is, after all, Monday. That I then, you know, pulled and transported over across the river, where by the time the festivities were ended, not a scrap remained. And a lot of people tasted for the first time the hot and spicy yellow pool hall slaw, and a few of them came up to me even and said, "What in the hell's in that? That's amazing." And it just did my heart so much good to have people blown away by something that I have loved for literally all my life. I think I mentioned that I got to thinking about it, and probably the very first spicy thing I ever ate as a child, and that sort of began my lifelong love affair with spicy food, was that slaw from that little tiny barbecue joint in Florence, Alabama. And goodness gracious, it was good. And I even went so far today, I had hot dogs for lunch. The cheapest, reddest, ugliest weenies you can find. That's just how you have to do it. That's what makes it good. And it was gratifying and satisfying. And like I said, everybody enjoyed it. So it looks like coming up in June, I'm going to do a bunch of, I like to think of it as kind of a practice run for the horn end. But I'm going to do up some pulled pork and some brisket and some chicken. And hell, I might even grill some tofu for the vegetarians. And serve it with that slaw. And I was thinking of making it a fundraiser. Not for the horn, but for Fairness West Virginia, which is the umbrella group for the Alphabet Mafia, the LGBTQQIA+ community, because they're going to need all the help they can get, given the fact that, the state of West Virginia, like so many other benighted maggot states, has gone to war against people like me, and in particular against young people. Trans children. So don't turn away. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to turn it off. It's all right. But so maybe in June, and I'm really looking forward to it. Had a lot of fun. I will no longer be. By the way, you might find this interesting. I have used the term gussied up, and I will no longer because as opposed to the maggots. I try to be a lifelong learner. Our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor asked the question over the weekend, where does that term come from, gussied up, saying that she'd heard her mom use it and maybe her grandma use it over the years. And it made me curious because I've used it. I've heard it used. I heard heard people use it, the mom, grandmother. So I looked up the origins, and it's a little bit... It's a little bit unclear, but it's clear enough to be somewhat more than a little bit disturbing. Gussy up, and you know, check me on this if you're out there, our buddy the Angry Architect or Robert in Australia, even John Fox. Gussy up, to dress elaborately, dress up, smarten up, is an American and Canadian slang term, and the Canoodlians can jump in on this too, and like many slang terms, its etymology is obscure. Gussy up may derive from gussy, G-U-S-S-I-E, an Australian and American slang term. And when you think of how the Australians like to put IE on the ends of words, just to sort of informalize them, for instance, Brisbane becomes Brissy. An Australian slang term for a weak, get this, you know, it's all over the language. So much of what we say has its roots in bigotry. And apparently gussy up is the same thing. So henceforward, I'll be using dolled up, glammed up, something like that. Or just dressed up. Who knows? Because in the case of Saturday, the Derby Day affair, I dolled up. And the pictures are there on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Had a marvelous time. But it may be Australian slang for a weak, effeminate man. It first appeared in Australia around 1901 or 1902. So I'll probably be having no further truck with Gussie. Unless somehow or another we take the sting out of it and use it as other negative terms have been used to denote palhood or buddyhood. But I thought you just might find that interesting. And I had my big white floppy hat, and I had my white dress, white shoes. I won best dressed. How about that? It's wonderful. It was a grand, grand time. And it was a perfect day. And by the way, the first day of May was the most beautiful day of 2021 thus far. And looks like it's going to be that way for a while. Because, like I said, the standard disclaimer is going to apply Monday, Tuesday, because we're all thunderstormy for a while, and, you know, sort of be prepared to take cover if you're in the maggot states of the southeast, because there's already been tornadoes and whatnot. And but I'm actually getting ahead of myself, because every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. And, of course, this program is no different. So we have much gratitude to send out to our first, second, and third day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks very kindly to Shorty in L.A. And thanks to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to John. Thank you to Bill in PA. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you to our buddy Mick. Thank you, oh so kindly, to Rocco. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you to our buddy John at Home Dirts. Thank you to our anonymous friend. Thank you to Chris in Germany. And to Chris in Germany. And to Ralphs in Wisconsin. And I will add in our pal Rico in DeBerg. Many thanks for supporting the first broadcast of the month, Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Because that is on the table now. And it is much appreciated if we can raise, well, not as much as it would ordinarily be. But thanks to a contribution that came in on Friday on the front porch, a couple of contributions, it means that we've only got to raise $50. That's it, $50 this evening. And then Rico in DeBerg has a challenge to put on the table, half of a Have a Show on Me. So thanks, Rico, so kindly for that. Thank you so very much. Rico said, hi, my beautiful Robin. Aw, thank you. So I'm woefully behind on podcasts and just caught up with the Wednesday program. I heard your eloquent mea culpa in reaction to Hung Like Jesus' comments, but Lord, you poured your blood, sweat, and tears to keep this wonderful program alive, so you can damn well talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk for 3 hours about dryer lint, you are more than entitled to. Oh, Rico, do not trust me. I will try to find a way to make 3 hours of dryer lint at least marginally interesting. No, I won't. Oh, but you're not an entitled being, so you respect the community, and I respect you in turn for that. Thank you so very much. So, a $75 challenge, if met, that'll mean $150. I know I'm not a hot babe like you do, but I do have my blonde moments. Don't worry. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know. No. The only way I'm a hot blonde is if somebody turns the air conditioner off. But thank you, Rico. Thank you so much. Signed, Rico in the long night in the wondrous Berg. Thank you. And thanks as well to Mark, who I got a note from Mark over the weekend. And let's see. Let me pull it up here because there was a There was a note that went with it. Congrats to Robin and Agnes on 28 years. I upped my subscription to $28 a month, and I pay the fees. $28 to match the years you two have been married. Have a great anniversary and enjoy it. Be safe and have fun reminiscing about the past 28 years. Congrats again. That's Mark from Minnesota. Thank you so much, Mark. That's so kind. And we did. We had a lovely day. Had a lovely day together. And, well, we did some reminiscing. And we also did some thinking. You know, the best part, I was thinking about the future. And we are working. There's a lot of work going on here at the mansion. I spent the better part of the day hauling 20 years of detritus out of the studio because this has turned into a full-on project. The goal being to finally make this space as video-friendly as it can be. And with any luck at all, sometime soon, you remember when I was down in Alabama, we took the program to video. We'll do it again here on a consistent basis. So thank you, Rico, and thank you, Mark. And thanks, everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thank you very, very kindly indeed to Jeremy in Vermont for getting things started. Thank you so much. That means we got $45 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. oh, dear. Our buddy John in PA says, Robin got all gussied up. Well, there goes dinner in the East. I'm kidding, Robin. You looked fantastic. Thank you. That was lovely. Big floppy hat. And I even got a bright red rose to put in the hat band. It was just pretty. And it just felt so wonderful. So that's the biggest part of getting the program started. Of course, Robin, Shelley Moran Capito. Oh, God, that's perfect, Joey. Yes, it's Moran Monday, so gather round one and all so we can watch Shelley Moore Capito perform her sleight of hand tricks right before our very eyes. And Jeffrey is all over this one. Oh, I just love Shelley the Shell Game Capito, you know, one of the worthless senators from West Virginia who likes to play her carny games with the infrastructure bill. First of all, Capito takes this ridiculous stance that Joe Biden doesn't want to work with the Republicans, when in reality, Republicans led by Mitch McConnell have made it very clear that none of the Senate Republicans are willing to work with him. The president has a $2.3 trillion package plan for infrastructure, and you, Capito, and your fellow Republicans think meeting the president in the middle is a proposal of $5.68 billion. I don't know about this woman they call Shell Game Shelley, but it looks to me like dear Capito wants to decapitate the entire infrastructure bill before it even gets started, which is exactly what's going to happen, because even if President Biden agreed to take the one shell with the $568 billion under it, that was 568, not 5.68. Shelley would shelve that shell and tell Biden that $568 billion is too much and shove the shell in his face, probably worth only about half of that, somewhere around $2 billion. Then Capito's final shot in the shell and tell game would be to even pull that last shell away from the table because, as Mitch McConnell stated earlier today, no Republicans are going to vote for a Biden bill at any price. That's quote. No Republicans are going to vote for a Biden bill at any price. Great job, Jeffrey. Once again, Jeffrey's absolutely correct, as the question is not whether Joe Biden's willing to work with Republicans, but whether there's just one worth a shit Republican willing to work with the president. And, well, understandably, Jeffrey has more on the Moore and. Joe Biden, throughout the course of his political tenure, has been reaching across the aisle for decades, to be fair, and consider both sides, and now Shelley Game Shelley. Moran Monday, no capital money for the country Capito. Jeffrey's busy. Has the unmitigated gall to tell Fox News that she believes President Biden does not want to really work with Republicans. The question from the Fox News nuisance caster should have been, does Mitch McConnell want to let any Republican work with the president? See what Jeffrey did there with Fox Nuisance Caster? Excellent analysis, Jeffrey. Yeah. Capito went on to suggest that the people of West Virginia would not view infrastructure as taking care of the elderly or sending the residents of her state to college for a free 2-year technical degree that would prepare them to rebuild roads, shore up the internet, and repurpose power and water grids. No capital Capito also said that she would not raise taxes. In other words, no capital Capito would rather stick the burden of the infrastructure bill on the middle class and the poor. She suggested that if any extra funding is needed for these projects, the funding should be collected from user fees. And of course, we all know what that means, more taxes on our phones and internet access devices and more tolls on our highways. Once again, the Republican plan is to place the burden of the work on the working weary of this country. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the third day of May, with Giraffe looking to capitalize on the reconciliation approach one more time. We'll have to use reconciliation because we can't be reconciled with the Republicans because the Republicans are not interested in being reconciled with us. I mean, Jeffrey's got it right. This isn't that complicated. But God, it is work. And so, it's a good starting place. And there's plenty of other places to go. But I thought we would start with something that's been in the hopper for a little bit and damned well deserves attention. Because I'm daring to hope that maybe the unmerited love affair between the multimillionaire for-profit media and Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is finally coming to a close. He hasn't deserved all the attention he's gotten. He has, from the beginning of the COVID pandemic, dummied up and fudged up the numbers in a way that would make Andrew Cuomo blush. Andrew Cuomo. It's been near impossible to get the actual data on COVID infections and COVID deaths in West Virginia since about March of last year. But let's talk more about Andrew Cuomo. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice could not withstand a tenth of the scrutiny that has been applied to Andrew Cuomo, who may or may not have done shitty, dodgy things with the COVID numbers in New York. But he certainly does not have a lock on the phenomenon. Oh, hell no, not by a long shot. But it turns out that that wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back. Or, in the case of Make West Virginia, Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, the hog's back. No, he's got the front and the back trotters in the trough, and he intends to stay there. They called him, MSNBC did, from the Stephanie Ruhle Show, which is, of course, the program that follows my filthy morning habit. And it didn't go well, to say the very least. And it doesn't get much more Moran than this right here. Now, Stephanie, in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Here we go.
I want to ask you about other families. The law you just signed banning transgender female athletes from playing on women's school sports teams. Can you name one example of a transgender child trying to gain an unfair competitive advantage at a school there in West Virginia?
Well, Stephanie, I don't have that experience exactly to myself right now, but I will tell you.
Time out. Okay, Jack, time out. What the fuck does that even mean? I don't have that experience exactly to myself right now. I mean, I speak hillbilly. And that is some genuine, authentic, up-the-holler, Appalachian Mountain gibberish. I don't have that experience exactly to my mind right now. I was expecting to come in here and have you stick your nose up my hind end about what a wonderful job I've been doing getting hillbillies vaccinated. Why are we talking about them transvestite children? I don't understand. I wanted you to blow smoke up my ass about, well, I shit ice cream over the keeping the people from a dying of the COVID here. That's what you've been doing for a while. And this thing got a lot of play. This clip got a lot of play in the past few days. One could dare say that it went viral. And I'm kind of still trying to sort out why that is. Because it's not nearly as awesome as what a bunch of people apparently thought it was. No. It's, in fact, kind of disturbing. I think I've got better audio here. Let's use that. Okay, that's good. From Airplane, our buddy Kevin says, "Excuse me, I speak jive, Governor Jim." So I guess it was, they asked me one of them gotcha questions that brilliant lady from Alaska used to complain about, that caribou Barbie. I thought she was so hot. This whole clip was so ripe with opportunity. Steve in New York says, "Great big old West Virginia, great big old make West Virginia great big or make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice." I chuckled inside, says Steve, because I imagine Justice saying, "What, me play sports?" Well, back when he could still motivate under his own steam, he was said to be quite the golfer. I think he played on the Marshall University golf team and has been a lifelong lover of the sport. But all of those years sitting behind that desk counting all that money from all those coal mines, killing all those people, well, the sedentary lifestyle took a toll on Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. Let's go back.
I want to ask you about other families. The law you just signed banning transgender female athletes from playing on women's school sports teams. Can you name one example of a transgender child trying to gain an unfair competitive advantage at a school there in West Virginia?
Well, Stephanie, I don't have that experience exactly to myself right now, but I will tell you
this. Not yourself,
this.
Your state, sir. Can you give me one example of a transgender child trying to get an unfair advantage? Just one.
Yeah, see, Stephanie's a Jersey girl, and she's not going to put up with that hillbilly bullshit to myself. Not yourself, sir, your state. Mm-hmm. Yep. There we go. Tell them, Steph. There's only one problem. I'll explain here in a couple of minutes.
One in your state. You signed a bill about it.
No, I can't really tell you one, but I can tell you this, Stephanie. I'm a coach, and I coach a girls' basketball team. And I can tell you that there, you know, we all know what an absolute advantage boys would have playing against girls.
But see, he went there. They aren't boys. Especially not if they've had puberty blockers since about age 10, 11, 12. It's any competitive advantage is over. Their hemoglobin isn't carrying as much oxygen. They probably have lower testosterone than the girls do because, you know, don't anybody tell Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, but the girls have testosterone too. And it's kind of funny because I forget if it's Greenbrier East or Greenbrier West that Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice coaches their girls basketball team. I want y'all to get out there. You're only girls, but I want y'all to get out there and play the best basketball you can. And you know, you got to rebound. You got to make your free throws. And I want you to... And some teams with better athletes got on the floor with them and mopped the floor with them. And there was no talk of an unfair competitive advantage. You know who's got an unfair competitive advantage? A near 6 foot tall girl has an unfair competitive advantage over a girl who's 5'4 or 5'6. I mean, it really is. It's unfair. She's got reach. She's got height. Probably got speed. But we don't talk about that. In fact, your high school basketball coaches like Lake West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. And it's amazing that he still has time to be a high school girls basketball coach. I mean, I'd think that governating would take a lot of time, but he's an expert, you understand. And he didn't like it worth a damn when girls with an unfair competitive advantage came and whooped the shit out of his little girls' basketball team. After this, I'm sure if he gets his ass handed to him again, he'll have some doctor go in and, you know, look down their shorts and make sure. You sure it ain't none of them? It ain't none of them. Transylvanians, what's Butch done handed my girls their butts in that their game today? Yeah.
Sir, you have no examples of this happening. Why would you take your time to do this? Let's talk about other things that I can give you examples of in your state. According to U.S. News and World Report, West Virginia ranks 45th in education, 47th in healthcare, 48th on the economy, and 50th in infrastructure. If you cannot name one single example for me of a child doing this, why would you make this a priority?
Okay, so this is the point. This is the part of where I have to explain why she's kind of wrong. I mean, she's right and wrong at the same time. Sure. Why are Republican legislatures all over the United States of America moving for all they're worth to solve problems that don't exist? You know, there's no line of absolutely cisgender males trying to get into girls' basketball teams or girls' volleyball teams or field hockey or lacrosse or cross country or track and field. They aren't there because it's a hell of a lot to go through to give up your male privilege to play girls' sports. And so, you know, it's a solution in search of a problem because the problem does not exist. There are no young women out there with their noses pressed up against the frosty NCAA window pane or NAIA window pane waiting to, you know, because they've been denied a scholarship because some cynical dude threw on a bra and a pair of panties to try to go and play sports because he couldn't cut it with the real boys. Doesn't happen. I mean, there's a case being heard that will be decided by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals out of Idaho, and that's today. But that has to do with a young woman at Idaho State University in Boise who has been banned from participating on the track team that she had already successfully become a member of. And it's not like she's going to the Olympic trials or anything. Just running track. Okay? And so there really aren't, it's not a problem. But if you are the Family Research Council or the Family Resource Council or the whatever that outfit is that started life with an email list from the Klan, or if you're any of these other Bible-banging right-wing fundamentalist outfits that are trying to backdoor an establishment of religion via these anti-trans bills, well, A, it's a great fundraiser. But they have no evidence either. But the question isn't whether or not there are trans kids trying to play sports. Eventually, I mean, here and there, there are. I mean, we heard the father in Arkansas, was it? And a father in, I think, Alabama. And his baby girl's running track. And she lives out and proud. And she has no competitive advantage. And he begged the legislature not to throw his daughter off the team because she is his daughter. No, they did it anyway. But again, Stephanie Ruhle misses the point because she kind of makes it sound as though if there were a bunch of trans kids trying to play sports, maybe these bills would be okay. Well, there's never going to be a bunch of trans kids. But there will be here one. There will be one here and there. Because we've existed throughout time. And we will continue to exist despite the best efforts of these maggot legislatures to provide a final solution for us. And that is a hateful term, and I know it. But it's what they want. He's good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican legislators and the people who empower and enable them. They want us to go away. They want us to die and never be heard from again because they take their advice from a bunch of Bronze Age bigots who thought pi was equal to 3 at best and made rules to make sure that nobody ate a shrimp cocktail or wore a cotton poly blend upon penalty of death. And that's who they take their advice from. But that is where Stephanie Ruhle is wrong. These bills are not wrong because there aren't any trans kids trying to play sports. These bills are wrong because it is wrong to discriminate against an already marginalized class of children and young people. And that's what this is, pure and simple. I know people who have said to me, well, you know, why don't we form a league for all these boys that want to play girl sports, and they can just play amongst themselves. Really? You'd have to scrounge up 9 trans girls to have a trans girl softball team. Or is it 10? I think it's 10, isn't it? 10 in softball. Most high schools, even the great big consolidated ones, won't have 10 trans girls. You need 5 for a basketball team if they're going to play. No substitutions. And no injuries. And most high schools, even the great big ones, won't have 5 trans girls. Good God, you'd need 4 for a 440 relay. And most high schools won't have 4. Well, if you got 1, maybe you can let them run cross country or something. Well, yep, fucking E. And then you got to find all the trans kids in the other high schools. And then when you're done with it all, you sue the bastards because they have set up a separate but equal system of sports to high school athletics to and college to discriminate against people based upon their perceived gender. This is ridiculous. But here we are. So what I'd like to know from Stephanie Rule is if it turned out that there were a bunch of trans girls trying to play sports, and again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Nobody ever says anything about trans boys trying to play sports. Yeah, because you let them little girlies out there on the football field, we'll send them running real quick. We'll knock the shit out of them, and they won't pull and play football no more. Except they do. And they like to do things like kick. And they're not. And some of them aren't even trans. They're just girls playing kicker. And there's already co-ed soccer in the lower grades. And quite often, the girls will kick the boys' asses. And we all know about the girl in North Carolina who kicked every boy's ass who challenged her and became the state champion, the state wrestling champion of her class, her weight class, in North Carolina. Not a word from the Republicans about her, either. They're not going to have any doctor groping down her shorts to find out if she's got the right plumbing to wrestle. No talk about competitive advantages when, in fact, she doesn't have anything to grab and, you know, in the clinch down where the ref ain't looking and make him go, whoop. Yeah, people do play dirty. Hell, as far back as when Ferg was a 9th grader. And that was 10 years ago or more now. He wrestled. We found out rather quickly that high school wrestling is eating disorder is subtitled Eating Disorders for Boys. And there was a girl wrestling there. She fought dirty. Hillbilly girl. And I'd love to hear what Stephanie Rule would say, or I'd love to hear her actually defend trans kids. She was opposing this law because she thinks it's a solution in search of a problem. Bigger fish to fry. West Virginia, 45th in education, 47th in healthcare, 48th on the economy, 50th in infrastructure. Boy, I tell you what, that 48th in the economy, you'd think that that would, you'd think that we'd be better than that. What with all the prosperity that blowing up all our mountains, poisoning our water, and filling the skies with deadly toxic dust, you'd think we'd be better than 48th. Obama, the Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, is probably doing his Kenyan Muslim, you slurper wizardry to make sure that the coal industry stays down where he put it. Oh, okay. Thank you, Randy. Randy Radar says it's 10 for softball due to the addition of the soft stop position. I thought it was 10. And you need a couple more. Need a couple more just in case anybody gets hurt or in case you got to change pitchers, whatever. A reliever. I don't know how many go. So what is it? 1, 2, 3. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 6 for field hockey, maybe. I don't know from field hockey. Thanks, Randy. Stephen New York says, I know this isn't the least bit profound, but I can't imagine caring this much about something like this. Of course, I also realize trans women, girls, and men, boys are the new boogeymen to raise the blood pressure of Emory and Marvelline to get them to vote and send their tithes to the likes of the Family Research Council. I do have a solution for all this. Make all sports co-ed and make them all wear roller skates playing them. Ain't nobody got an advantage on the basis of sex or gender or whatever roller skating. Of course, this demonstrates the abject superiority of ice hockey because ice hockey was completely co-ed when I played. You know what else is interesting? It's fun watching baseball players trying to hit fast-pitch softball. And they're used to, I think there still are, barnstorming women's softball teams. Fast-pitch. Who will take all comers? But here's the difference between softball and baseball, among others. But in terms of human physiology, if you are a pitcher in baseball, you probably will at some point in your career destroy your pitching arm. That's why baseball managers sit in the dugout and so meticulously, and the pitching coach sits there and keeps track of every pitch thrown by the pitcher. And once they get to the 100 pitch count, they begin, like Yosemite Sam, trying to decide whether to run down into the powder magazine to get that lit match that Bugs just threw in. But arms are ruined. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen to someone fast-pitch softball. Arms aren't ruined. Because the motion for fast-pitch softball is much more natural to our primate physiology. There's the motion of the shoulder that one would use to, for instance, swing through the trees like we used to millions of years ago. It's called brachiating. And the motion of throwing a baseball is completely antithetical and inimical to primate brachiation. And so you wind up with torn rotator cuffs, and you wind up with screwed up elbows, and God help you if you are a screwball pitcher. Who was the great screwball pitcher of the bygone baseball era? He threw the screwball so much that when he walked, his pitching arm just naturally hung with his palm outward from the turnover motion. Yeah. Thank you, Dave, number 11. There are 7 on a cross-country team. The top 5 are scored. We're way out here in the weeds. Thank you, Dave, number 11. That's not way out in the weeds. So it's going to be almost as hard to field a trans kids cross-country team as and would that include trans boys and trans girls, or do we have to split that up? Nah, it wasn't Fernando Valenzuela, Steve. I mean, he was a screwball pitcher. Wasn't Walter Johnson. I'm talking about the Walter Johnson era. I used to know. Lee does have one question, and that is with regard to Steve's idea of everybody plays on roller skates. Lee wants to know, roller skates on all sports? Does that include the swim team? Well, I mean, all means all, Lee. Warren Spahn, okay, okay, Kevin, but it wasn't Warren Spahn because that was Spahn Insane in a Day of Rain. Ralph serving as the ad hoc research department because these things happen on the program. Best screwball pitchers in Major League Baseball. Come on, come on. What, no, I don't need to know. I don't need to know where they went. Not Christy Mathewson. Not Tug McGraw. Carl Hubble. There he is. Carl Hubble played for the Tigers and then went to the New York Giants. And during his 15-year career, Carl Hubble scored 253 wins, 1,677 strikeouts, and had a lifetime ERA of 2.98. As he spent 15 years with the New York Giants. Carl Hubble. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. Otherwise, I would have awakened at 3 o'clock in the freaking morning going, Carl Hubble! But yeah, it was Carl Hubble. And when he walked, his pitching arm was palm out from all those years of the delivery. But anyway, in a fast pitch softball, you never hear about torn rotator cuffs or Tommy John surgery. Mm-mm, no. So let's go back to the clip and finish this issue. 48th in the country in the economy. Son of a gun.
37th in healthcare, 48th on the economy, and 50th in infrastructure. If you cannot name one single example for me of a child doing this, why would you make this a priority? I just named four things that would seem to me like a much bigger priority.
Well, Stephanie, I didn't make it a priority. It wasn't my bill.
You signed it.
I mean, it's just come to me.
My God, don't you just love it? It wasn't my bill. It just showed up on my desk one day, and I was signing paychecks for the company, and they just slid it under. I accidentally signed a sumbitch into law. It wasn't my bill. It wasn't produced by no Republican legislature. What's the same party as what I am, even though I was elected as a Democrat, because people actually believed me when I changed my registration, and there wasn't no way I was ever going to be a Democrat. No, hell no. It just happened. And there wasn't no sense in me vetoing it because they just would have turned around and overrode my veto because all it takes is a simple majority vote in the West Virginia legislature, and the West Virginia legislature is batshit crazy right now. I think we might have two or three Democrats left.
I mean, that part's true. Kind of like Arkansas and Asa Hutchinson.
And I have absolutely signed it because I believe from the standpoint of a...
Lord, he believes. He believes. Yes, he believes. Sweet Jesus. Jim Justice believes. Lord, he believes in them girls.
Exactly. Exactly. Perfect. Stephen, New York.
It weren't my bill.
Radar O'Reilly just put it in front of me. And of course, I sign whatever he puts in front of me.
Yeah, it just happened.
I mean, and see, this is the fun part. In previous appearances on the for-profit media, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has said,
you know, we had such success with our COVID response. In no way, shape, form, or fashion did I not believe the scientists. I trusted the scientists. I listened to the science.
I mean, he sang that song a lot.
But once it comes to
trans kids playing sports. We're not going to listen to the scientists anymore because they're trying to transliterate our entire children population in West Virginia. And we already got a big enough problem because we probably got the biggest population of trans kids in an entire new 90 states of America. And here we are, just a little broke hillbilly state, and we can't afford to have none of them transliterated children. Too much trouble. Can't even beat the shit out of them in school anymore or paddle it out of them like it used to be.
You have any, some of you do. Some of you do. Some of you do have an idea of how awful it is to wake up every day and know that there is an unvarnished, unflyblown moron running your state. You know, same thing with Governor Meemaw in Alabama, or McGovernor in South Carolina, or Governor Ducey in Arizona Stan. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Who's the numbnuts in Missouri? You wake up every morning and go, shit, what are they going to do to the state today? And by the way, I gotta send a shout out to our pal, Lila. Hi, Lila. I had a lovely note from Lila today. And she said, oh, dear sweet Robin, I'm catching up on Friday on the front porch, and I just don't know which I love more, the granddaughter dandelion story or my new favorite term, shit weasel. And as I told Lila, I think shit weasel will prove to be a lot more useful, especially living in Alabama, or living in West Virginia where I do, where you've got an entire legislature and a governor's mansion absolutely brimming at the walls with shit weasels. And these anti-trans kid bills, these are shit weasel bills. Little scurrying, shit-making, shit-eating weasels. Because they are.
You weren't my bill, Stephanie. Why ain't we talking about how awesome I am?
A coach, I believe that girls work so hard to obtain Title IX, and I do not.
Girls worked hard to obtain Title IX. How about that? Girls. Not women. Girls. You know, one day they're there playing with the Barbies, and the next day they're litigating in front of the Supreme Court. Girls.
As a coach, I believe that with every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. You ought to see West Virginia. We're just up to our chins in fires.
God, anytime there's a Jim Justice clip, or anytime there's a Joe Manchin clip, and it falls anywhere near a Monday, you know we're going to have them on Moran Monday.
I have any idea now why we are trying to disadvantage them in participating in the sport that they put so much into. I don't know why we're doing that. This is not like it's a big priority to me. In fact,
well,
I think we only have 12. No, Stephanie, listen. I think we only have 12 kids maybe in our state that are transgender-type kids.
Transgender-type kids. Type.
Out of this whole clip, there's gold throughout. Well, black gold, coal. But your
transgender type kids.
My God, we've had trans kids tormented trying to go to the bathroom, and that was 4 or 5 years ago, and we still haven't sorted it out. And now because remember
Jim Justice is a physically conservative governor. That means I'm tight with the money.
And yet, he signed this thing into law, and Chase Strangio, over at the ACLU said, yeah, we'll see you assholes in court, too. And they're probably going to win, at least at the lower court level. And here's where it gets troublesome. And, well, this isn't entirely a trans story. This is a culture story. This is a religion industry story. Because these things are funded and driven both in England and in the U.S. by religion industry money. Because it's a great fundraiser. Just ask Jim Justice. You got to spend money to make money. And that's what your Family Research Council, et cetera, and your Focus on the Family, and your American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. That's what they're doing. They're spending money to make money. But a couple of years ago, based on statistical extrapolation of data, and I think organizations like Planned Parenthood, who specifically instituted male-to-female hormone replacement therapy program, of which I am a patient. God bless Trans Parenthood, or somebody, Flying Spaghetti Monster, I care not which. But I have a great deal of respect for them. They told me that the demand for their services is through the roof in this state. Because apparently there are a significant number of people who have lived their lives in hiding.
Well, hell, I think we only got 10 or 20. So how are you going to make a basketball team with them, Jim? My God, you will, honest to God, if you are in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, in the Eastern Panhandle, and you want to drive to the state capital of Charleston, you are in an all-day drive. Same thing coming from Wheeling to Charleston. Or Wheeling to Huntington. Or God knows, Huntington to Martinsburg. You are on the road all day, which is kind of weird for a state as tiny as West Virginia is. But it's true. I think we ain't got 12 of those little assholes.
I mean, for crying out loud, Stephanie, I signed hundreds of bills.
How was I supposed to know that one of them was a bigoted bill against trans kids, for God's sakes?
Hundreds of bills. This is not a priority to me. And but with all that, I would say I think that it would impose an unfair disadvantage on the girls. And so from that standpoint, I support it.
All right, then.
You know what? It definitely imposes an unfair disadvantage on girls, especially the trans girls. Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to be able to go over and play football, or boys tennis, or boys golf, because they've given up all of their hormonal advantages. It's just that plain, just that simple. And so, you know, just no sports for them. Maybe Jim Justice would like for him to, I don't know. Maybe instead of participate, because that's one of those things that we know and we've had preached at us for all these years, that kids who participate in high school athletics do better in their classwork. They have better social interactions. They are healthier from both a physical and a mental standpoint. Girls who participate in athletics are less likely to become, teenage moms. And yet, so I don't know, maybe Jim wants the trans girls, because again, they don't give a shit about the trans boys. Maybe he wants the trans girls maybe to just, I don't know, go and smoke cigarettes out behind the gym. Maybe, you know, go over to the seedy-looking dude who says, hey, kid, the first one's free. Maybe a nice little opioid habit. Maybe heroin. Hard to get pills around here anymore. Maybe heroin. Maybe fentanyl. Hey, maybe the little trans kid in high school gets a hot dose. Then just dies. Maybe that's what Jim would like. Maybe they can hide in their rooms and grieve until they become one of the 40% of trans people who commit, who try to, and some succeed, commit suicide. Wouldn't it have been nice? And see in the screen behind Stephanie Ruhle, there's a little visual of the trans pride flag. You know, the baby blue, the pink, the white, the baby blue, the pink, the baby blue, the stripes. It waving behind her. Wouldn't it have been great if she had come to this discussion armed with all those facts? Yeah, it would have. But it was only a 2-minute and 50-second segment, and it's taken me the better part of 45 minutes to lay all of this out. And they don't have that kind of time because they got some fucking soap to sell. Or, more likely, pharmaceutical drugs. Don't take this if you've taken it, if you've had an ACE or ARB in the last 30 days, or your nose will fall off. Can cause spontaneous death. But that's where we... And so, like I said, in Idaho, the case is being heard by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The case was or is being argued today in front of the 9th. And the 9th is notoriously liberal. And they will probably rule on the side of Lindsay Hecox. She's a student at Boise State University. And she is the one who's, she's one of the people whose law Idaho would prevent from participating. Lindsay Hecox said, I'm just a 20-year-old girl and I just want to be able to compete. It was just so blatantly wrong for politicians to legislate this. On the other hand, over on the track and cross-country team is Madison Kenyon. Madison Kenyon is 19 years old, and she is a pawn. The poor thing is a pawn and a tool of the Bible bangers. Because remember, Idaho has a lot of Bible bangers of a particular variety. And she said, to step on the field and have it not be fair and to get beat by someone who has advantages that you'll never have no matter how hard you train, it's so frustrating. What I'm fighting for is to preserve the integrity in women's sports and to make sure that it's a fair playing field, which is all bilious crap. Because we went over this earlier in the hour. There's no unfair advantage. Especially not for trans kids who started puberty blockers. And especially not for trans girls who are on testosterone suppressants and or estrogen. To step on the field and have it not be fair and to get beat by someone who has advantages that you'll never have no matter how hard you train. So frustrating. The only problem is, for instance, Darlene in Connecticut was telling me a story out of her state where a female athlete made a similar complaint. And maybe I've got the facts a little bit bubble off plum. But the trans girl who was supposed to have all the athletic advantages subsequently got the shit kicked out of her in competition. Oops. That case got mooted out by virtue of the fact that the student graduated without ever having had justice. And so, even though this is hanging in the balance, Idaho is looking at, and just as Georgia did, creating a system whereby some group of men is going to inspect, you know, it'll be men, inspect the genitalia of girls who want to participate in sports. Yeah, Bubba Daddy, Bubba Bobby Joe Dad, you gonna love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. A couple of notes coming in along the way. Sports, says Matt in San Francisco. My theory, the Republicans are so used to cheating and breaking any rule or norm, it's just a simple natural progression for them to conclude that someone would change their gender simply to win a tennis match. How jacked up does your thinking have to be to even conjure up this scenario in the first place? They are so tiresome. Oh, God, Matt, amen to that. It's so true. Well, I mean, we'd do that. Hell yeah, I'd do that in a minute to get me a scholarship to play women's field hockey at Busted Knuckle State. They got one of your better women's field hockey teams out there, and I'd love to be part of a winning squad like that. Hell yeah, I'd take me some estrogen. You damn betcha. Of course I might. I might miss my little friend after a while, but you know what? After I get out of college, I'll just get off the estrogen and I'll go back to being a boy. It doesn't work that way. There is a point of no return. And if you really are no kidding, trans, when you pass that point of no return, you will be so happy. And if you aren't, well, probably within a month, maybe two, you'll go, ooh, fuck, get me the hell away from this. This is terrible. And then it'll be reversible. I mean, there won't be any big deal. No big changes. But my God, Matt's absolutely right. They are so, so twisted in their thinking. I mean, IOC, the International Olympic Committee, already has standards for this. The NCAA has standards for this. And I guess the West Virginia legislature did this, and make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice did this, because they're not afraid of the NCAA, because it's not like we're going to have any big NCAA events come to West Virginia. But make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice owns the Greenbrier. And you'd think he would be thrilled to damn pieces to have, say, the NCAA golf championships at the Greenbrier, which is a fantastic course. Beautiful course. Historic course. And economic pressure is the only thing that works with these assholes, because they can only hear through their wallets. So hopefully the NCAA, having been willing to drop the hammer on North Carolina Stan over the bathroom bill, maybe they'll lean on these states and sort of Sherman-like march through these ridiculous states. So I hope I don't get any emails about why I just spent an hour on that. But, you know, this is long-form conversation radio. We do this precisely because the for-profit media does not devote this kind of time to an issue. But it's Moran Monday, and it's not every day that we get an Australian Moran. This is the case of Clive Palmer. The dateline for the story via Reuters is out of Canberra. You know, where the federal government's seat of power is, where conservative members of the so-called Liberal Party rape women and just you know, have sexy time in the chapel and whatnot. Well, that has nothing to do with Clive Palmer. Clive Palmer got his Australian ass handed to him in court in Australia this past Friday because he repeatedly breached the copyright of the 1984 hit "We're Not Gonna Take It" in his political campaign advertising. The Australian court in Canberra ordered Clive Palmer to pay Twisted Sister, you know, Dee Snider, all of that, $1.2 American dollars or $1.5 Australian dollars for violating copyright. God, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could... If we had a court system that would do that to Nitwit Nero. I like to think that Keith and Mick would be right in court, along with maybe Axl Rose, for all of the copyright violations that took place. Because Clive Palmer is filthy rich, and he founded an outfit called the United Australia Party before the 2019 general election, and they came up with a parody song using the phrase "We're not going to take it," because you know they had, because they had, you know, Australian family values or some such silly shit as that. Here's the best part, though. In court, Clive Palmer tried to argue that they used the melody to "O Come All Ye Faithful," you know, Adeste Fidelis. And the lyrics that he proudly penned, "Australia ain't gonna cop it, nah, Australia's not gonna cop it, Aussie's not gonna cop it anymore." No singing! We're ever so close to being where we need to be. And the justice of the federal court in Australia, a woman by the name of Anna Katzman, said, "In the face of the evidence, it is with respect ludicrous to suggest that the UAP recording was created independently of We're Not Going to Take It." The defense was fanciful. And he's sort of, you get the idea that Clive Palmer's the kind of asshole that lawyers hate to see coming, because on the one hand, you're going to be able to bill the bejesus out of them, but on the other, you're probably going to wind up having to sue the fuckers to finally get paid. And along the way, he lied to the court, otherwise known as giving false evidence. And Judge Katzman said that he also concocted a story to exculpate himself. By the way, my apologies to our Australian friends for my horrible, horrible Crocodile Kincaid accent, but can't be helped. So Dee Snider jumped on Twitter and said, "It's over, baby. We won big. We're not going to take copyright infringement anymore." A spokesperson for Clive Palmer said, "We're going to examine the ruling and consider an appeal." Now, guess where Clive, because this is what makes it so special and so much fun. Guess where Clive Palmer is Australia's answer to Don Blankenship. Because he made a fortune tormenting the earth of Australia to gouge out coal, precious metals, what have you. Yeah. And they spent $83 million Australian on advertising in 2019, and they didn't win a single blessed seat in the Australian Parliament. Ah, too bad, Clive. Hate that for you. Nah, I don't. Not at all. Actually laughing. Oh, gee. Oh, and we got a Joe, it being Moran Monday and everything. We got a Joe Rogaine update. Remember how he was telling people not to 20 somethings, you don't need to take the vaccine. Well, all the smart people jumped on Joe Rogan, and I don't know if maybe because I suggested it here when we were talking about when we were talking about who owns that program. You know, that Spotify paid him $100 million to bring his misogynistic, muscular, testosterone-fueled broadcast exclusively to Spotify. And who knows, maybe the lawyers among the suits up in Spotify said, Jesus Christ, do you realize that if one 28-year-old kid fails to take the vaccine and says it was based on his advice, they could clean us out? Shit! And so, because he sold out and took the $100 million, Joe Rogan did not have the power to say, well, fuck you, man. It's my program. Nope. Having been savaged, he suddenly backed off, declaring late last week, I'm not an anti-vax person. I said I believe they're safe, and I encourage many people to take them. My parents were vaccinated. I just said that if you're a young, healthy person, that you don't need it. Their argument was, you need it for other people, but that's a different argument. That's a different conversation. I'm not a doctor. I'm a fucking moron. I'm not a respected source of information, even for me, but I at least try to be honest about what I'm saying. Oops. Joe, did you hear the money train pulling out of the station, honey? Yeah, Pink Shrek decided that he liked the money better than... God, these people. Well, it's more in Monday. What should I expect? Oh, well, thank you. Lee in New York says, if the horn community can have Jeffrey the giraffe, you can be Kincaid Kangaroo. Yeah, but Ron and Raleigh's got dibs on Crocodile Kincaid. And so, so it goes. I don't even know... What kind of a noise does a kangaroo make? Does a kangaroo make noise? Steve in New York pointing out, Joe Rogaine, somebody needs to study the first rule of holes. yeah, Flavio, it is. It's Pink Shrek now. And, yeah, I was, you know what? I neglected the mention of the chat room at the beginning of the program. It's up and running with a great group going in there. If you happen by now, especially if you're a first-timer, but just if you wander by now, you will be greeted by Tim O and Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Who has, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space and has remained Sparky, and capably assisted by a pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. There it is. From the ACLU filing, Irish Dave sent this along, going back to Idaho for a second. I don't know how many people would like to go back to Idaho for a second, but we're going to go there for a minute. Quack, quack, quack. Memorandum decision and order 3 code section 33-6203 per N 3. If the sex of any female student athlete, whether transgender or not, is disputed, the student must undergo a potentially invasive sex verification process. This provision burdens all female athletes with the risk and embarrassment of having to verify their biological sex in order to play women's sports. Similarly situated men and boys, whether transgender or not, are not subject to the dispute process because Idaho's law does not restrict individuals who wish to participate in boys' sports. United States District Court for the District of Idaho, Lindsay Hecox et al. Yep. There it is. Oh, and Jeremy in Vermont says, Jim Justice, how about we treat him with Charmin and wipe him away and spare Sherman the work? Lord knows his first match was brutal. Hey. What's that? Oh, it makes sense. Randy in PA says, a kangaroo makes you hear a circle of tweeting birds when he kickboxes your lights out. What is this? A tweeting bird? Mm-hmm. That's good. Little jingle, sure. So I said, well, more in Monday. And we have many of them. This is the ongoing saga of L. Lynn Wood, not Ellen Wood, he hasn't transitioned. L. Lynn Wood, I think Lucian Lynn Wood. Now, this is the guy who tried to foment a revolution, foment an insurrection, foment treason, and was up to his eyeballs in January 6th. And he's under investigation by the Georgia Bar at this point in time. And over on Telegram, I don't know anything about Telegram. I've got enough social media to worry about. But apparently a lot of the maggots ran over to Telegram. And on Telegram over the weekend, in the past week, he's been posting pictures of empty rooms in the White House, saying things like, could he be in that office? I don't think he can legally be there, but I'll check before I leave. I was right. No Joey in the Oval Office. Not our Joey. And also not a baby kangaroo Joey. But I did run into our President of the United States. President Trump is hanging out and working in the office in which we reelected him to serve in a historic landslide victory on November 3rd, 2020. No, really, no kidding. L. Lynn Wood, whom someone should probably hold a mental hygiene hearing for, is claiming that Joe Biden is not in the White House of he's not there, but that Nitwit Nero is. And he said this to his 840,000 followers. And he sent a picture of Nitwit Nero from March 2020 in the Oval Office to support his claim that Trump is still there. And the maggots lap it up like a kitty eats cream. As George Carlin used to say, check his calendar. It's just one paranoid fantasy after another. Anything to keep from having to deal with reality. Oh, and back to back to the term gussied up, a note from Robert in Australia. I grew up in Australia from 1960 on. The only time I can recall hearing the term gussied up is in American films. I did some quick digging around, and it did originate here in Australia. It was first used in Australia in the early 20th century as a name for a foppish dandy. The Australian feminist novelist Miles Franklin used it in her best-known work, My Brilliant Career, 1901, to describe a soppy Lothario to whom she gives the unambiguous but mocking name of Everard Grey. I'll show him. I think no more of him than the caterpillars on the old tree there. I'm not a booby that will fall in love with every gussie I see. I hate and detest men. It was in, if it was in common usage here in Australia 120 years ago, it's dropped out of common usage long ago. These days, you're most likely to hear the expression dressed up, and I'm not even sure if that's a term young people still use. Yep, there's all... It's always out there. It's kind of like, well, in American English, the word Indian in front of anything, it often means false, because it's a way of reinforcing bigoted stereotypes. Indian summer, Indian turnip, and of course there's Indian giver, and they're all ugly as hell, and they are not reflective of the people at whom they're aimed so much as they are reflective of the people who create the slurs. How about that? Kangaroos growl. Really? Do we have a kangaroo sound here? Kangaroo sounds. Okay, it sounds like the snort of a deer here. when you hear a deer snort, at least around hereabouts, it sounds like the deer has had a too long standing smoking problem. Yeah. Oh, and let's see, we are only 12 days away from 8 months without a cigarette. So, yay. Hopefully I'm not making those noises so much anymore. Some of these accounts are just, well, they're more in Monday stuff. But damn. They're hard to deal with. A woman an Asian woman was having dinner in the Hell's Kitchen area of Manhattan recently. And Her friend was about worried about walking to the subway by herself, and so the woman who is going known only as Teresa said, "I'll walk with you." And they ran across a 5'9" tall white woman wearing a black T-shirt and jeans, carrying a hammer, and the woman followed them, caught up with them, and told them, "Take off your fucking mask!" And then she hit Teresa in the head with the hammer. Happened right in front of the window of a restaurant. She had to have 7 stitches, according to WABC's Saifon Kim.
born in the U.S., but had gone to Taiwan during the pandemic. She came back last month, but her mother didn't want her here because of the anti-Asian hate crimes. Her friend had asked her to walk her to the subway for fearing of their safety, and that's when all this happened. Sometimes journalism language drives me crazy. Police are investigating it as a possible hate crime. Really? Take off your fucking mask? And that's not a... Well, that's a possible hate crime. And I understand a lot of the language that goes into journalism, but that's one of the... The state of an investigation is to see if something is something, or what something is. So you can... I think you could just say, law enforcement are investigating a hate crime. Because that sort of takes the possibility bullshit language out of it. The Karens are out of control. Meanwhile, over in the Republican Party, the ongoing saga of Liz Cheney continues. And don't mistake me for a member of the Liz Cheney Defense Committee, because she is awful. She is horrible. She's terrible. I know she's terrible because over on My Filthy Morning Habit, Joe Scarborough was defending her this morning. She's one of the real, she's a real conservative in the Congress, believes in small government. Somebody needs to get a memo to Joe that in the midst of a pandemic and an economic catastrophe, small government is not a term that has any social, cultural, or political relevance anymore. Yeah, no. And so, you know, this is one of those, I hope it doesn't hurt too much moments. As the maggots attack Liz Cheney, and Liz Cheney attacks back. She went to a Republican Congress conference. Ooh, don't even say Republican Congress. She went to a Republican, I guess, caucus meeting. They had it down at Sea Island, Georgia, which is a lovely place. I mean, if you can afford it. I saw it at a distance once. She's the chair of the House Republican Conference. But she is still unforgiven for having behaved vaguely, briefly, like an actual American, and voting to impeach Donald Trump. Maybe because she thought it might confer some sort of presidential gravitas on her. At this Sea Island meeting, she said, "We can't embrace the notion the election is stolen. It's a poison in the bloodstream of our democracy." Well, good for you, Liz. Maybe after that you could work on becoming a decent human being, but, you know, that's a start. "We can't whitewash what happened on January 6th or perpetuate Trump's big lie. It is a threat to democracy. What he did on January 6th is a line that cannot be crossed." And two people in the room confirmed what she had said. And she was merely repeating herself from something she had said a couple of weeks before, or shortly before, She tweeted, the 2020 presidential election was not stolen. Anyone who claims it was is spreading the big lie, turning their back on the rule of law and poisoning our democratic system. See, she wasn't even afraid to use little d democratic.
See, I told you, Marvelline, that proves that Liz Cheney, she may be look like her daddy in a bad way, but she's a Democrat. She said she believes in a democratic system. She's probably secretly in the pay of that Nancy Pelosi.
And so at some point in time, the maggot men who live in constant bowel-watering fear of Nitwit Nero, they very well likely may remove her from her position as head of the Republican Conference. Like I said, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. There's nothing I'm more fond of than the idea of internecine warfare inside the Republican Party. And hopefully nobody gets up and walks away. Wouldn't that be lovely? Yeah. But it seems like there's a Liz Cheney story about every other day now. And of course, because of where we are and because we made Joe Manchin the Queen of the May, there's a Joe Manchin story almost constantly. Joe gave an interview to USA Today. And of course, he said, I got along well with Donald Trump. We had a good rapport. He called me all the time. We talked back and forth. But I didn't know anything about what he did to the Republican Party. I didn't know there was that type of fever and pent-up hatred in people he allowed them to unleash. And so, Joe Manchin continues to block H.R. 1, continues to block the ability of people of color to fairly and freely cast a vote. He said outright that he will not support D.C. statehood. He said he objects to much use of budget reconciliation, even though loads of his constituents, and even some Republicans here in West Virginia, want him to get out of the way because we recognize what this infrastructure bill could do for this benighted state, which is down in the low 40s relative to just about any statistic that actually means anything. Not supportive of the George Floyd Reform and Policing Act. Because, you know, those people. And I'm at a loss. I'm doing what I can here to make my voice known. I leave messages at his office. Polite, but firm. I know a lot of other people are. And the only thing I can come up with is that we need people in other states to do the same thing that heroic voters in Georgia did in 2020. We need more Democratic senators. We need to keep Raphael Warnock in Georgia, unseat little Marco Rubio in Florida, Dare to Dream, get rid of Rand Paul and that thing on his head in Kentucky, and come up with enough extra senators that we can obviate the need for the Kyrsten Sinemas and Joe Manchins of the world. Yeah. Do you have a better idea? I mean, we are offering $12,000 West Virginia. We are offering $12,000 to anybody who will come here and work remotely. We'll probably pay it out to you $1 a month for the next 12,000 months, but nonetheless, we're trying. Come on here and change the politics of this little state. It will not take many people. We routinely have primary turnouts around 38% in this county. 38%. That means the winning candidate was supported by no less than 19% of the registered voters of this county. And this isn't that populous a county. So come on over, y'all. Beautiful place. Winters have been pretty mild. Bit of a land boom going on. But there's a lot to recommend it once you get past the blowing up mountains part. And they're not blowing up mountains here because a whole bunch of this county is a goddamn national park now. Yeah. And this is, after all, conversation radio. If you've got something you'd like to say, you are more than welcome to jump into the conversation. There's plenty of stuff that I haven't brought to the table. Oh, by the way, I had a note from Todd in South Carolina staying a few minutes ago. Damn, man, you need to stop with that shit. You're just out of fucking order. Out of fucking order. Just stop. Jimmy's a bringing justice to West Virginia. And your trans type children. Maybe we need. Maybe that's what we need. We need. What would. Maybe a. Would you put Jim Justice's big old face on your t-shirt? Or maybe just an outline of the state of West Virginia and just put trans type person. And maybe make the state of West Virginia the blue, white, pink. Blue, white, pink, trans pride flag. Ooh, I wish I knew people who design t-shirts. I would run right out and order one of those. Trans type person. Jim Justice. Yes, dear? The lovely Agnes has quietly slipped into the studio.
Yes, the goddess of irony herself, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I heard you talking about Jim Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
He said we've probably only got 12 of those trans-type kids in West Virginia anyway.
Well, you know, we got a lot of kids in West Virginia. We have missing foster children. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
So I would
say, we don't know if any of them are them trans-type kids, and they may be a couple of them, and so maybe we got 13 or 14 of them trans-type kids in West Virginia.
Well, you know I'm for trans rights.
Yes, you are.
And I won't go into my reasons for being for trans rights.
Yeah, I think some of them might be a little bit obvious, but that's okay.
Some of them may, but I think that everybody should be who they want to be.
Authentically are.
Yes, and not be closeted all their lives and cause other people to be closeted all their lives, although I am a cis heterosexual.
Cis het girl through, yeah, and through. Yes, indeed. We all know.
So we talk about these.
Oh,
things.
We do.
Yes, we do.
By the way, the hi Agnes emails are good. There they are. There's the first one.
Hi, everybody.
There's Lee in New York. Welcome, Agnes. Belated happy anniversary from Lee in New York.
Thank you very much, Lee. I don't celebrate anniversaries anymore. I'm actually a widow, so I can't do that.
Stop that.
But we're best friends.
Yeah, we are.
There we are.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, go girl.
There. But I think one thing that you might suggest. Now, wasn't there a girl that became a football player?
Not what? Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think. Yeah.
Well, hold on. And
she kicked in college last season.
Well, hold on. And wasn't there a thing with Boy Scouts where a girl became a Boy Scout?
The Scouts now welcome girls.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
And the Girl Scouts have long welcomed trans girls.
And this whole thing about...
And trans boys.
Well, hold on. The whole thing about trans girls or trans boys being any different from any other child, if that was the case...
Children are children, and children need love.
Well, true, but I am a cisgender girl. And my boy cousins weren't anything to fool with, but I could still beat their butts. Now, what does that make me?
Right. You're just like the high school girl in North Carolina who whipped the shit out of every boy on the wrestling match that came and challenged
you. Well, I've had my butt whipped, too, but the whole point of it is...
This is not that program, honey.
No, not like that. Stop it, Robin, or I'll take your yeah, tablet time away from you. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. We need to work together. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as it doesn't do any harm.
First, do no harm.
Exactly. That goes a long
way. That's your hippopotamus oath, last I checked.
You keep doing Mr. Haney, and you and I are going to have a problem. You're going to climb that pole out there, girl. And I'll be right behind you dogging it.
Splinters.
Exactly.
By the way, we had a note from Steve in New York who said, Agnes, you know, I think her beautiful voice is a voice you should aspire to because, damn, the red hair and that voice.
Oh, please. It's going to be single white female, Steve. Let's not have Robin becoming me. I don't want to become Robin, so I'm in therapy. It's okay.
We are. But the family that therapies together stays together. Even though we're not therapying together, we're therapying.
I am so not therapying with you. I don't want
No. You couldn't make me.
But I wanted to remind everyone, Dr. Bill's been on hiatus.
Yes.
But tomorrow we will be doing a live program with Kevin Shanley.
Yes.
And we miss you, Horst. Thank you, Asa. You take good care of us. Love you, Jody. Hi, Jean. Hi, Ann. This is my moment to jump back here. Everybody knows the people that I love you all. And so even if I don't get to say all their names because Robin will shoo me out of the studio.
I'm not shooing.
Oh, you all know. This happens. I can't do pirate radio. So get a conversation going.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't just include trans kids. It's all kids.
Kids matter. Yes.
Exactly. And since we're still in a pandemic with different variants of COVID, all this opening up school and shoving your kids into it to see which one lives and which one dies. Let's look at that. I love you.
I love you.
So I'm going to take my cats up crazy and go back to work.
And your can of Lysol.
Yes.
You only came for the Lysol can, didn't you?
You knew.
Give me a spritz before you go.
Better.
Thank you.
There you go.
The lovely and talented Agnes, the light of my life. Kevin said, hi, Agnes.
Hi, Kevin. I love you.
See? Yeah. But anyway, this is Conversation Radio, and if you'd like to get involved in same, please feel free to jump in. You know how. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype or 304-574-8178. That's also on Skype. And, of course, the stress line, which is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, THEHORN. Lee in New York says, Agnes cannot do pirate radio. Are you kidding? Yeah, okay. That's a rather weary llama, Lee. But at least you tried. Randy in PA says, West Virginia, come for the $12,000, stay for the poison air. Well, I mean, there is that, but we're working on it. If we could get more people to agitate their members of the House to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, we could clean the air up pretty darn quick, too. Oh, and by the way, Randy says, I got my second shot yesterday, and today it's kicking the crap out of me. I'm sorry to hear that, Randy. Take your ibuprofen, drink lots of fluids, get plenty of rest, and you'll be back up and at it in no time, I'm sure. Arthur says, quit, you two. If we start accepting trans kids, soon we'll end up with trans ams. Is that what you want, Kincaids? You know what I want? I want a trans am, and I want it painted in the colors of the trans pride flag. I definitely want that. Yes. So this being More In Monday, and almost fully 2 hours into the program, let's check out a garden variety More In. Oh, thank you, Lila. Lila says, P.S., I love the wedding story on Friday. It's a heck of a story. That's one of those sort of things. You got to write a book. When? Let's see. Oh, I haven't mentioned it, but we've got another, I think, what was it? We got $35 to go, and we're done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge, which is freaking awesome. So maybe in the next hour, $35. Seven people at five people at seven, one at 20, one at 15, etc. Any way you want to do it, it's fine by me. So we go to Missouri for this, and we have dear friends in the state of Missouri. Oh, okay. Well, happy to help, Flavia. I'm glad I tuned in tonight. I am too. Flavia says, I needed some ammo on why there's no unfair advantage when trans women compete in women's sports. I was in an argument last night with some friends who bought into that argument, and all I could come up with was that there was no scientific evidence for it. No, there's scientific evidence against it. And plenty of it. I mean, if muscle mass and testosterone levels are what they're about, then, well, testosterone levels are easy to suppress. And it's one of the best things that happens to a trans girl, suppressing testosterone at puberty, so that all the things that happened to me, you know, shoulders for days, 6 feet two, this voice, they don't happen. They just live a happy little life in the gender they identify with. Isn't that lovely?
Yes, lovely.
So anytime you got a question, and, you know, I'm happy to answer questions that are offered in good faith. Absolutely happy. I see that as a way of me paying my debt forward to the people who made the path for me. I think about dear friends. Who transitioned at a time when it was a hell of a lot harder than anything that I'm facing. And I, in fact, am having a lovely time of it. Come on, hold on just a second. There we go. Let's get all connected up. I was gonna do this bit out of this piece out of Missouri, the Rockwood School District in Eureka, Missouri, where angry white parents got all bent out of shape about something that isn't even happening in their school district because they sit there in their matching Barca loungers listening to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Newsmuck, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and they've decided that they're all worried about teaching critical race theory there in Eureka, Missouri. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes, it did. Okay, we're done. Wow, thank you, Jeremy, and thank you to our anonymous friend. Very much indeed. And in fact, my math is bad, but we are done with fundraising for this this More In Monday. Thank you. Maybe we'll get to the audio here in a minute, but I do not like to keep people waiting, and lo and behold, someone is on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, how's it going? It's Kevin.
Hey.
From West Mass. How you doing?
Good, Kevin. How about you?
Hey, Ben. Great. Had a nice day off from work today. And did some work in the yard, you know, and getting some home delivered tomorrow while I'll be working, and just going to chip away at it and patch up some bare spots in the yard and all. But anyway, I was calling about I got a question about, you know, that Arizona recount.
Yeah. The crazy people.
And, yeah, you know, like, so how did a private company, a private auditing company, get access to public ballots? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm kind of bugged by that, too. But I guess it's a case of the Arizona legislature said, okay.
Right. And so now they want to duplicate this. Well, I mean, let's face it. If they're going to do one state, then they're going to what? They're going to do all the close swing states. You figure Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. They're just going to go one on, you know, they're just going to play this thing out all summer long. But I'm just wondering if anything is going to be binding, whatever they find.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say it's probably all about just getting the voters ginned up to, you know.
Well, and there's a hustle behind it, too.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip of Nitwit Nero standing down there on the bandstand at Mara Sleezo saying, watch it.
Yep.
We're going to go state by state. A lot of things are going to happen. Well, you know, he's got his website up now. And he's got his grift going.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, they just keep pumping money to this. Oh man, it's got, you know, you got to figure one of these people are going to get smart enough and just figure it out. But I guess they want to hear what they want to hear.
Well, yeah, and if you think about it, just by analogy, when the circus when P.T. Barnum would bring the circus to town, you know, he might be there 3 days, maybe a week. And
right.
That apocryphal old story about the This Way to the Egress, where they go through the egress, and the next thing you know, they're standing outside the gate, and they got to pay their nickel to get back in again. Well, you know, this way to the egress sign would be inside the circus grounds the whole time that they were in town, and the marks would keep going. Yep. Oh, we missed the egress last time. Don't you remember? We had to pay the nickel to get back in. This is the greatest This Way to the Egress grift in modern political history.
Oh, man, this guy's making a killing.
Yeah.
He's making a killing. And his family still, and, you know, I mean, I know he's got legal troubles and all that. And hopefully that'll catch up to him. But let's just hope the voters are smart enough. And like you said, we need to get more senators in there.
We need smarter voters, and mostly that means we need smarter, we need massive dedication on the part of the community of color, like we had in Georgia. They saved our lives and saved our country.
Yeah, they did. Oh my God, it was huge, and it just got overshadowed by January 6th. I mean, the morning, you know, the day after, literally the freaking, you know, half a day later. So, that's a whole other story right there. But
I was going to tell you, there's a story out today. There's a National Guardsman who's been implicated in January 6th. But busted.
Wow.
And see, every time I see this, I feel a little bit more vindicated, Kevin, because I've hollered for years now. We have a horrible, horrible problem with infiltration of police and police, law enforcement generally, and in the military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if they know how to fight their way out. And by the way, let me thank you personally for jumping in this evening. I appreciate it a lot. And thank you for your support.
Yo, you're very welcome, man. You guys, you're the best thing going, man. I mean, this whole family, this is nothing. There's nothing like it out there. Nothing. I mean, there's podcasts, you know, there's good podcasts out there and all, but like MSNBC and all other crap. I mean, some of them are good, but this is as real as it gets right here, man. And I listen to you every day, man. And, you know, it really makes a huge difference, and you know, I'm glad we just keep it going.
Well, that's deeply inspiring, and I cannot thank you enough, because the whole idea behind putting this together was to create a conversation and to create a community, and not to just have it that, you know, I hated the old, and by the way, Rush Limbaugh is still dead, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering about that.
But there, you know, that talk radio model of you know, where you get to say, you know, where you get to praise the host for 15 seconds, and then Rush goes off and pontificates for, you know, well, that's enough about you, let's talk about me. I hated that. And I wanted people to have an opportunity to get things said.
Yeah, they go, thank you for your call, and then they just hang up on you. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, so. good luck with the yard work, and I sympathize because I spent the better part of the day trying to plow through a massive aggregation of 20 years of, you know, Robin's Home for Wayward Hardware. Oh, God.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, because you replace something, you replace a piece of computer hardware, and maybe you're upgrading, and you think, well, you know, I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with it. I'll hang on to it because I might need it someday.
You might need it someday.
Someday's over.
And it's, right. You discover you got 50 hose washers.
Yeah, and or, you know, a video card from the turn of the century. Because I'm going to use that one day.
Yeah, I just might need that. Yeah.
So it's got to go. It's got to go. And so we're working on it.
Hey, how'd it go? How was the weekend? How was the night out, the weekend out?
We had a wonderful time. We spent time together here. Agnes wasn't feeling real great. But we had a pleasant time. I didn't take all the barbecue across the river. I kept some back here. And we're planning. I've got a dear friend across the river who does this sort of pop-up catering thing. And I made Agnes smile real big yesterday because I told her that I ordered us a dinner for next Saturday. Homemade. All of this is homemade. Crab cakes and lobster ravioli in lobster sauce.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Agnes loves ravioli.
Nice.
So we'll just kind of.
Yeah, well, a bit.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I won a little bit on Derby. I picked Mandolin to finish Win Play Show, and I got second and third. So a little modest wager.
Cool. You know? Cool. I didn't realize it until somebody wised me up that one of those odious Saudi princelings had a horse in it. And this, yeah, this is a dude who's tried to kidnap his wife and his own children.
You know, oh my God!
Because, you know, Bronze Age,
right?
And there was a huge outcry, and they tried to get him, but they couldn't. I don't know what's wrong with the people who run the Kentucky Derby, but maybe they were afraid that Mohammed bin Bonesaw would have them chopped into chutney too. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I hope they ain't going to be around for the Preakness or whatever. I don't know. Maybe, but.
And the sad thing is, it was probably one of the prettiest horses in the field. Did you see that gorgeous light gray horse?
Yes.
That was it. That was the horse.
So that was the horse. No kidding. He started on the outside. He was out of the gate. He did pretty good, but then
he came on pretty stiff. But that Bob Baffert horse. I don't know how you let a horse trained by Bob Baffert go at 12-1.
He got it for $1,000, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how. Yeah, yeah. And well, the one I bet 28-1, Mandolin, he finished 12th. What's the race before the Kentucky Derby? Not the week before, the month before. I don't know, whatever.
What, the Kentucky Oaks?
He would have been the Kentucky Oaks, yeah. He finished 12th, and they were like, wow, why is this? Because he's supposedly a better horse than that. And I just kind of looked at the odds, to be honest with you. I knew nothing. It was like a bang bang thing. I was like, all right, 28-1. I put like $5 to win, $5 to place, $5 to show, you know, not big. And, damn, did he almost win that race? You know, I lost by half the length.
I know. It was really an exciting race.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great race. It was a great day. You know, I mean, something to look forward to, you know, things get back to normal. Like, are they packing in pretty good there? Did you see the crowd there?
Oh, yeah. It was huge.
They were, you know, I noticed the workers were wearing masks, but I don't think many people in the audience have worn masks.
No.
Well,
no, I think people couldn't find masks to coordinate with their hats. I had a whole monochromatic black and white thing on, so I had a big floppy hat with a black hat, with a black band, and I had a black sequin mask to go with my look, and I thought it worked.
I gotta check it out. You got it on Facebook?
Yeah, not with the mask, but yeah, I got a couple. I think there's four pictures up on Facebook.
Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. It was a great race and it was a great day, and I had a little bit of champagne just to celebrate second. So what the heck? But all right, man. Well, hey, I'll go. Somebody else get in.
All right, Kevin. Great to hear from you. Chime in anytime, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right. You take care. Bye now.
You have a great night. Yeah. Bye.
That's Kevin calling from Massachusetts. Great to hear from him. And somebody was trying to ring in. If you want to jump in, that's cool. Again, had the Missouri story, but oh, breaking news. Bill and Melinda Gates are breaking up after 27 years. You got that, but I don't know. We've just grown apart. All these billions have come between us. Oh, that's an interesting. Yeah, okay. Dave, number 11, says, Dr. Renee Richards popped into my head. She rose to a ranking of number 20 in the women's professional ranks and competed in the doubles finals in the U.S. Open. From Wikipedia, Dr. Renee Richards has since expressed ambivalence about her legacy and came to believe her past as a man provided her with advantages over her competitors, saying, having lived for the past 30 years, I know if I'd had surgery at the age of 22 and then at 24 went on tour, no genetic woman in the world would have been able to come close to me, and so I've reconsidered my opinion. Dave, number 11, says, clearly Dr. Richards wasn't a kid when she transitioned, so it's an apples-to-oranges comparison. Precisely. And that's why it is so odious to say this about kids. Because the one thing that any trans person will tell you is that the most important and wonderful thing that could have happened to them would be if they had transitioned before puberty kicked them in the ass. And every place else, too. And then it's impossible for there to be a competitive advantage. It is simply not possible. So it's so weird to see a state like Alabama say, no, or Arkansas, say, no, the kids can't have puberty blockers, but they also can't compete as their experienced gender. That's damned if you do and damned if you don't. That is literally you can't win. Not just at field hockey, but at life. We're going to ruin your life until you're old enough to make your own decisions, and then you're going to spend the rest of your life regretting it. Not that you transitioned, but you're going to spend the rest of your life regretting that you were prevented from fully leading your life. All kidding aside, when I was doing the part of the cleanout today, I ran across a photo of it was my third-year law school portrait. And I know this is going to sound kind of weird to say. I had problems with my own image all my life. And only today was I able to look at that picture and go, damn. She wasn't half bad as a boy. Only now. Because dysphoria really does get in the way. But if you were to see the photo, and you won't, but if you look at my eyes, the story was there. Because that's where the pain was. Steve, where'd you go? Steve in New York rang in. Um, And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, watch the filthy conspiracy theorist 5G maggots lose their fucking minds over Bill and Melinda Gates announcing their divorce after 27 years. Why? Well, it's not for mine. Does one of them have a side piece or something? I don't know. But it seems like the, well, not for me to judge, but Brother Deacon Ace is right. They will lose their teeny tiny freaking minds. And let me check back here just a second. Darlene pointed out, shit, wonder what this divorce settlement's going to look like. Lordy knows what the knuckle-draggers, conspiracy theorists, QAnon, Fox, so-called news, et al., well, they're all the same, so why waste my breath any further, we'll be cooking up about this. On opposite ends of the continent, Darlene and Brother Deacon Asa asked the exact same question. What will the paranoids make of this? And you know they're going to make something. Hey, Steve.
Hello?
Hello. I hear you. I gotcha.
Yeah. My cat sat on something, and it disconnected everything. So
Steve, it's not about the cat.
Okay. Well, he only has one eye, so maybe. You know what? Listen, you. Did you see that really tragic photo I sent you of me?
Yes.
My antlers?
Yes.
So it does happen.
Oh, I know. It happened to me, too.
I mean, they weren't as bad as I thought they'd be, but...
Hey, antlers can be cute.
Yeah, but it's very difficult finding a hat or, you know... It's just difficult learning to sleep with them.
Yeah, it does make turning over in your sleep a little bit different.
Yes, yes. Particularly with my broken nose, so.
Well, you know, back in the go-go 80s, getting a broken nose was a good thing because the urban myth was that they would pack it with cocaine for you.
Well, I can promise you that is purely a myth.
well, yes, now it is a myth. Sorry.
Okay, you know, yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, this is going to be how it is.
Okay. I remember, did you get the thing I sent? Do you remember the King and His Court?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I do.
I wrote that just because it, and I don't know if you, I have some stuff going in and out because of you know who. No, it's not Trump. It's my cat. But I remember that guy. They were only a three-person team. And that guy, if I'm not mistaken, he was in his 60s or 70s, and they were still beating full teams.
Barnstorming the hell out of it.
Yeah, and he could throw the ball. And like you said, it had only to do with the fact that he was fast-pitch underhand. I remember there was a big stink in baseball where Mike Marshall, I think the guy was named, he played for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He appeared in the most, you know, like 100 games or 110 games in a season, and that was a big deal. But that's why, to be honest with you, someone like a Nolan Ryan is so unusual. I mean, you get a fastball slider pitcher who, you know, could pitch him into his mid-90s in – hell, he was in his mid to late 40s, I think, when he retired. But like you had said, that's why that's so – that's – well, I frankly think that Nolan Ryan, when it's all said and done, we're probably going to find out he was some sort of freak of nature. I mean, a purse
– Well, I don't know, Steve, because – I have a copy back when you had to have a hard copy of this thing. It was called the Baseball Encyclopedia. And it was every stat of every baseball game ever played. And it was broken. For a data nerd like you, it's just heavenly. Because you can play. And with like Moneyball and things like that that came on later, you could tell somebody had been at play in the fields of the baseball encyclopedia, because you can sort a data point out of anything in baseball because it's so meticulous in terms of records. Mm-hmm. And one of the most fascinating things is to see the Christy Mathewsons, the Walter Johnsons, what was his real name? Dalton True, Cy Young.
I was just going to say, hell, Cy Young.
I mean, these guys are throwing complete games and hundreds of pitches per. And they're pitching, and sometimes it's not even a five-man rotation. And they were astonishing. And so is that a lighter ball, a heavier ball? Is that the difference? Is it the height of the mound? I mean, it's still 60 feet 6 inches from the pitcher's rubber to the middle to home plate. So I don't know. But those records stand, and the thing is, it's not just that they did that. They did it year after year after year after year, and they compiled these massive records. You know, I was talking about Carl Hubbell, 15 years with the Giants.
Right. Well, I wonder if the fact that pitchers don't do that today is more of a function of the amount of money invested in them.
Oh, it has to be. And the rise of the bullpen.
Yeah, and the long reliever.
And then of course the Mariano Riveras of the world who come in and throw, it's possible to come in and throw three pitches in short relief and you're done.
Right.
But that's, part of that's the beauty of the game. And I'm not going to get all George Will on you or anything.
Oh, please don't. By the way, have you ever read the Law Review article, the common law origins of the infield fly rule?
No, I don't think so.
I remember one of my professors in school told me about it. I never read it. I should find that because I'd be curious to know that. But why the hell? I called in for a specific reason. I don't remember what it was. I know what I wanted to talk about. Beyond just being trans people being the villain du jour, what I don't, I honestly don't understand. You there?
Yeah, I am. I'm waiting. What don't you understand?
I don't understand. Maybe it's just another stop in the quote unquote culture war, because the gays got married and the world's still here. I don't get it.
Are we getting it? Why we're being targeted?
Why? But. Is it the fact that it's essentially like a bully? You have the strong people who make up most of the playground, and you have the, I'm not saying, when I say weaker, I don't mean physically weaker, but certainly weaker in numbers.
Sure. Well, let me take a run at it because I think I know where you're going. The earliest origins of activist evangelical Christianity, and that's where this crap comes from. Make no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The Southern Baptist Convention was founded to oppose civil rights. And they failed miserably over time. Because they were outmoneyed, among other things. They were also outmoraled. But it took a hell of a long time, and there was a massive amount of organization to oppose them. And they were opposing a portion of the population of this country that was of significant numbers and happened to have brilliant leadership. So they left that, and along comes the Equal Rights Amendment, and they had success with that. They managed to stop it. You know, Phyllis Schlafly was to women's rights what Caitlyn Jenner is to trans rights.
Well, I will urge Darlene
pointed that out to me, and it's like, oh, that's so fucking true.
But I will give Phyllis Schlafly credit. She did have more than two brain cells to rub together.
As opposed to Caitlyn, yes. And contrary to what anybody might think, estrogen does not make you stupid. That's not why Caitlyn Jenner is a horrible human being. Transition helps for the most part. Transition will make you a better person. If you are genuinely, no kidding, trans, getting to transition will make you a better person. I didn't want to talk about that when Agnes, but she tells me every day, you are a better person now than you were. And that is really affirming and warming. But to get back on track, they had some luck stopping the Equal Rights Amendment, but the struggle continued, and it continues to this day. You know, there was a tiny itsy bitsy victory of sorts with the Lilly Ledbetter Act, for instance. But you know, there's still the Equal Rights Amendment still needs to be ratified. And the Violence Against Women Act needs to be reauthorized in the Congress. And by the way, the only reason the Violence Against Women Act is not being reauthorized in the Congress is because it includes trans women who are murdered at an alarming rate, a horrifying rate. So, you know, then the evangelicals moved along and they said, hey, look over there. There's them queers. We'll go after them because Jesus hates them. And lo and behold, having the movement having started at Stonewall, with drag queens and trans women, by the way, but they went after the gay community and suddenly found themselves outgunned and outmoneyed again. Like, we keep going up against these people who have enough strength to fight back against us. What the hell can we do? Oh, wait, look! And it's like, I've mentioned the predilection of a raptor to only go after things that are smaller, not of its own size, and preferably dead. Well, they're like that. They don't want to take on anything their own size. You know, the Baptists aren't out there going to war with the Episcopalians, or God knows, the Roman Catholics. They're trying to make common cause with them. But they what they're trying to do here, Steve, is they perceive that the weakest link in the rainbow flag is trans people. And they think that if they can carve us out, that they will begin to disassemble that coalition of LGBTQIA+. And they will go after the demographically smaller units of the rainbow flag. You know, they'll go after trans, they'll go after the aces, they'll go after the intersexed, because we exist in numbers small enough to go after. And on top of that, they think that the larger, more powerful aspects of the rainbow flag will just let us go, because we don't really and that's part of the thinking too. We don't really belong in the rainbow flag. And so if you can carve us out and get rid of us, Then they can come after the stripes in the rainbow flag piecemeal, instead of having to fight a unified front.
Gotcha.
But it all boils down to something that I said way eons ago, long before. I've always been what I am, but I wasn't, you know, open about it. But, you know, we talk about various civil rights, whether they are rights related to ethnicity or gender or sexuality or age or ability. And you know the one thing that they all have in common? They are all human rights. You know, even with the mountaintop removal struggle, you know, Coal River Mountain Watch created a now iconic T-shirt that on the back says "Save the Endangered Hillbilly."
Mm-hmm.
Hillbilly rights are human rights. It's all human rights, and when we say trans rights are human rights, that's not. You know, it's like saying Black Lives Matter. It's not saying Black Lives Matter to the exclusion of other rights. It is saying that if you think anybody's rights matter, Black Lives Matter, because they are part of, Black Lives are part of the subset of human rights.
I just always thought it meant Black Lives Matter too. T-O-O.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, that's kind of that makes it sort of an afterthought.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I never certain no, and I nobody can honestly think that what the BLM folks meant was only Black Lives Matter.
You're wrong. With all the love in my heart, you're wrong, because when a maggot hears Black Lives Matter, they hear that their life doesn't, or that someone wants special rights. That's the big one all the time. Oh, they want special rights. Yeah, you know what my special right is? To live my fucking life. And that's what it boils down to. And, you know, I mentioned trans women being murdered. The vast majority of trans women murdered are trans black women. And there's damned well a reason for that.
It's a double whammy, so to speak.
Yeah. Because to a large degree, you know, Tracy and Todd were talking about this last week. The non-monolithic black community is, as compared to other demodynamics within the big Democratic tent, among the most conservative. And so the cishet black community despises their trans brothers and sisters, and a lot of that comes out of if the information I have received, because I was not born a poor black child, I am not Steve Martin. I hope I'm not the jerk, but the information that I have taken in, having tried to pay attention and learn and be taught, is that the essential conservatism of the black church drives a lot of this. And frankly, the doctrine, a lot of the doctrine in the black church is damned well not much different than the doctrine of the Southern Baptist Church when it comes down to who we hate and who we don't.
Okay.
I mean, does that make sense?
It makes sense. It makes, but you know what? There's always there. I always, and I don't mean this in any kind of spiritual sense. I always try to make sure that my brain, my heart, and my brain line up, because I always look at it as my, you know, whether or not it's actually scientifically accurate, and it's not. But my heart is my emotional attachment to something, and my brain is my mental attachment. Because a lot of times you can understand something logically, like what you just described. I can understand that logically. Okay, fine. It quote-unquote makes sense, even though I said it doesn't make sense. But in that sense, it's – or it's – you know, I make the distinction between something is – something may be a reason for something, but it's not an excuse for it. Like that, like what you're describing to me is, this is a reason, it's not an excuse. And I find those to be significant distinctions for something. But I think I don't get the emotion here, because my emotion is, why do you spend that much time caring? Let's just, you know what?
We're back in the funhouse again. Why do heterosexual Christians spend so much time thinking about how gay people have sex? And I think we both know the answer. The two of the most cis-hetero states in the union are Alabama and Utah, and guess who has the highest gay porn, trans porn downloads? Ding!
Why am I thinking that, like, Utah is really high on that, in that, on the porn thing? And that,
because it is so thoroughly repressed and so thoroughly forbidden, and in both states, people are taught from the cradle how dirty and filthy sex is. I mean, you hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. Until, you know, when puberty hits, you're like, Jesus Christ, I got to see what's going on here. And well into adulthood. I mean, I'm sure there's some weird old septuagenarian in Alabama, even as we speak, pounding what's left of his pud, looking at a cute little trans girl. There went dinner in the mountain time zone. Sorry about that.
I was just going to say, you really went there.
Yeah, I parked it in the cheap seats, which is where the septuagenarian is sitting with his raincoat, his beard, and his hot dog, and his hand down his pants. I mean, yeah, okay.
Wow. Boy. Man. Okay. I'm honestly, it baffles me. It really does, because there are things I don't like, and practices I don't like. But I don't to hate something and to have that much energy is draining. I got other shit to do.
Yeah, it's exhausting on the receiving end too. I was messaging with Tracy earlier today. And she sent me the story about Caitlyn Jenner announcing her official policy position that she opposes trans kids in girls' sports. And, you know, it's just sick pandering is all it is. But Tracy immediately reached the conclusion, oh, wait, Caitlyn Jenner is to you what Tim Scott is to me. Ding, 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 ding.
And I guess...
And the vast majority of trans women wouldn't pee on Caitlyn Jenner wouldn't pee in her mouth if her goddamn guts were on fire. I know I'm one of them. Stand or sit. Sorry, I'm not trying to be so overt, but...
No, I just... It's fine. I just...
Talking about kicking out the rungs of the ladder below you.
Yeah.
And stomping fingers.
You know, it's interesting when we'll call it the trans movement. I don't like to call it that, but let's call it that right now. Neonatal. It's an infant. It's in its infancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of the shit that I look at that, you know, gay men and women had to deal with in the 60s and in the 70s and to a certain extent in the 50s, although it was certainly much more closeted then. But the coming out in the 60s and 70s and to a certain extent and, you know, even into the 80s. I never had to deal with the shit that you're having to deal with. And it could very well be that it's that never having the emotional hurdles or any hurdles to surmount, probably gives me a little, makes me a little bit, I don't want to say, well, I'll just say naive or baffled at, or that's what baffles me so much about it, that I never had to, I didn't. I mean, I've told you, I mean, you know, we had, there was, when I was in high school, part of my clique was a gay dude, and I'm still in touch with him, but I mean, I wasn't out and then and wasn't aware. But I don't ever remember talking about it. I don't ever remember caring. I mean, it was, I think it was probably still to an extent that, it was like Uncle Charlie, who's single at dinner, at Sunday dinner, who, well, just never found the right.
That's his long. That's his longtime companion. Yeah.
Yeah. Or well, you know, I mean, I don't remember, and it could very well be that I was oblivious to it. I'm fully willing. I do. I have realized over the years that as much as I try to be aware of shit, I have some serious blind spots. I admit it.
Well, I mean, I can dredge up one. You mentioned high school. There are moments that are where, you know, where it's acceptable for males to cross-dress. And I remember during our big rivalry week, we would have tacky day. And tacky day, you wore the other school's colors. And during that week, there would also inevitably be a group of boys, and they were all the socially acceptable boys. And they would come out and do some sort of skit and drag. Mm-hmm. And they would look horrible. And everybody would laugh. Because there's nothing funnier than a guy in a dress. It's the funniest thing that somehow or another white European humanity can imagine. And you want to talk about weird and dysphoric? That was a moment. Oh fuck yes.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of it.
And I can imagine inside you're going, well, wait a second. So.
And I always wondered, you know, because there'd usually be 10 of them, and it's like, well, is one of those like me? And for all I know, maybe one was.
Well, I would bet that one was. I mean,
actually, we would have needed 100 for one of them to be like me. Okay. 1%.
Statistically, that doesn't mean that one of them wasn't like you. But anyway, I mean, I was that. To a certain extent, I was that guy. The one guy. Or no, I wasn't the one guy. I was, you know, 9 of the 10 who nobody would have, or maybe whatever. I was the one. I think I've told you the story. I have people who didn't believe me.
I got people who still don't.
Even after they see you?
Yes.
Meet you?
Yeah. Absolutely. After, you know.
Well, so what do they think?
Eight months of out and everyday living. Well, they can't separate. They can't separate what they've known from who they can't reach that, they can't understand that disconnect between, and you know, to a certain extent, you sit around and you feel bad about it because you feel like, you know, you've dealt unfairly with people. You know, I should have been out sooner. I should have told you sooner. But, you know, it's not like they're hateful. It's just that they don't believe it. I mean, you've heard it said on this program.
But wait,
by the way, somebody is on hold on the stress line. Please don't hang up. I want to get to you. But no, go ahead. And I'm not trying to run you off.
No, but when you say they don't believe, what don't they believe?
They don't believe that I'm trans. Maybe it's because my voice still clocks me.
But I still don't understand. What's not? I mean.
I mean, you saw the photos from Saturday, or a couple of them at least.
The ones you sent me. I'm off Facebook. So
right. Yeah.
But I don't. When you say they don't believe, okay, it's like, yes, but I'm standing in front of you.
But
what don't believe about?
They don't see it. They don't see what's in front of them.
Or do they just
they see their idealized? Not that I was anything to idealize, but they see their idealized version of me.
So you're what?
And apparently there was a moment where the Coconut Telegraph, I got a bunch of friends around here, and I love them dearly, but apparently the Coconut Telegraph, got white girl hot.
What's the Coconut?
The gossip wire. And I was like, can you believe that about Bob? Can you believe that about Bob? Can you believe that about Bob? And I think it's kind of cute, but please believe that.
I mean, and I'm sorry. Am I being obtuse? I don't understand what do they think? That you're Bob with the dress?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe they think I'm trying to work my way onto the women's softball team. I don't know. Yeah. That's why this shit is so nuts. You know, who in their right mind would go through what I'm going through, or puberty blockers or anything like that, just to play volleyball? I mean, I look back on my, and there was no way any of this could have happened when I was young. But my God, I would have far rather played volleyball, because A, I found it more fun. B, I was getting the shit kicked out of me every day in football. See, I hated it. When my pal Terry tells her story, she says, junior year, I quit football and took up cross country just to get away from all the bullshit. I hated running. I was never going to be that person. But, the other part of it is our football team sucked. But we had a kick-ass volleyball team. And that's what all these assholes think. Well, they just want to be on a good team. That's all.
What? Okay.
Because in their minds, it's like Matt said earlier this evening, in their minds, they are that dishonest, so they assume the rest of us are. Yeah, I mean, well, I've been teaching young Scooter to throw a 97 mile an hour curveball. It just whispers past the plate. He's unhittable, but you know what? If he wants to go and get him, if he wants to go on Estrogen and get him a scholarship to a girl on a girl's team in college, that's fine by me, as long as I don't have to pay for college. They're that fucking twisted, Steve.
I don't know. Please understand. I'm not trying to be. I'm not being obtuse. I genuinely don't understand.
I know. Don't understand. Yeah, it's not that you don't understand me. You don't understand that concept, and it's really weird. There are people who get it, and there are people who don't. I had to run over to the big box home improvement store today because I had the wrong supply lines for the plumbing job, and I met a guy in there last week, and along the way I told him, and so today I'm walking in there, and he, from all the way across the store, hollers, "Hey, Miss Robin!" I hollered, "Hey!"
That had to be awesome, though, at some
level. Yeah, it is.
That was great.
You know, I started all this, and I was like, I'm not going to give a shit about being misgendered. I don't care.
Can I just...
Now I do.
But I'll tell you something, too. And I don't know this person... But when I hear that, and I know this is going to sound stereotypical, and I don't generally care, but I don't want it to. In smaller towns, it's a fact when you don't have exposure to things, you tend to dislike or look disfavorably upon. And what the experience you just had reminded me a little bit of my grandmother. I think I've told the story where my grandmother's brother, whatever the hell he is to me, I don't know, made the comment that he thought I was gay at Christmas, and she was like, "I don't care, he's my grandson." And I imagine on some level, Grandma was like, "I don't understand it. I'm not quite sure what it means." And if I ever told her, she probably would be like, "Well, she would still not understand it, may not even quote-unquote agree with it," which I think is kind of a weird statement. But at the same time, she would be like, "Look, you're happy. That's what I care about."
Yeah.
And I just – that's why when I
get – But there are people who don't care like that.
But at the very – at the worst – I don't understand why people say, "You know what? I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I think it's gross. But look, whatever floats your boat."
Yeah,
I feel that way. I feel that way about.
It's actually surprising. I was scared to death coming out, terrified. I presume everybody is.
As soon as you said that, I thought, "Hello, have we talked?"
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I was up at the Wiggling Pig the other day. And the young woman who was checking me out said, "I love your nails. Where'd you get them done? Just tell me." And I told her, and she was like, "Go in there." I was like, "Yeah, these things are iron." And because they really did it. They did a wonderful job. Knock wood.
And she said,
"And yesterday when you were in here and you bought and you picked up a couple of things," she said, "Oh, my God, you were so cute." And I was like, "Well, thank you." I mean... It was just sweet as could be, and it was just girls.
I'm sorry, I was channeling Bugs Bunny because I could hear, "And you must meet so many interesting people."
Oh yeah, no. If I've ever got like a bunch of hundreds of dollars, I'm going to buy one of the original cells from Warner Brothers of the interesting monster with Bugs behind.
Yeah.
You know, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent end.
By the way, it's 7:52. I'm going to step off so you can take the person who's on the stress line.
Okay. And by the way, I need to, and I was asked to gently ask you, did you ever get it? We had a contributor, a member of the community, who jumped in on your Katz's Deli offer.
I never got any info about that.
Oh, my God. Okay, I thought I sent it to. Oh, okay, then that's on me. Bad person, Trevor. I will fix this immediately.
Yeah, no, I think we just had a disconnect because I remember. You know what? No, but that was the unless and you know, or it very well may be that you sent it to me and I. It went into my spam because I will tell you, I get a little bit surprised at things. I find stuff in spam from people I've been getting emails from for 5 years.
Oh, there's no rhyme or reason. I know.
So I don't quite I'll find stuff in there. I think I've probably found stuff in there from you and be like,
"The fuck?
I've got 100 emails from her. Why the fuck is this one in spam?" Happens all the time. All the time. And it may very well be that's what happened. So it's that's the reason. That's the only reason.
Okay.
There's a couple others.
I will double check because Trevor sent his address and I will make sure that it goes to you.
No, absolutely positive.
And Trevor just wrote in and said, "Yeah, we're all running amok." So.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? Do this. Remind me what it was so I can go back. Because sometimes they change things out, and if that's not available, then
it was the Katz's package. If you go back and check your email, I think you put it in an email. Oh dear God, we're going to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah. By the way, Eddie Fainer was the king in his court.
Yeah. I just remember he was just, and he wasn't the most he was like this tall, kind of pudgy dad bod guy who could just.
Yeah, but he was pretty thin all the way up into the 1980s. But the coolest thing about him was 1967, a celebrity charity golf ball game, or a softball game. And he struck out Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Brooks Robinson, Roberto Clemente, Maury Wills, and Harmon Killebrew in a row.
I remember this. I remember this, that he... How, and I wonder how old he was.
Well, so that was 67. He was 42.
I challenge any 42-year-old pitcher to strike out those. I don't care who it is.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm gonna go because I took up too much time because I want this person to get in.
Oh no, you didn't take up too much time at all. It was wonderful. Thank you, Steve.
Listen, you take care, okay?
And you know, thanks for giving me an opportunity to try to explain things because I still get questions, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I do. This is a debt that I owe.
Well, wait. Hold on a second.
To try to explain.
No, I'm going to correct you again. It's not a debt that you owe. Okay? But you care about people who don't understand and who've known you for a long time as your former self. So and the other thing is this could very well act like the Trevor Project, and there may be some trans kid out there going, "Oh shit."
Yeah, I don't know how many kids listen to the program, but it's more likely that there's a parent or a grandparent.
Okay.
And if I can help clear that path a little bit, and you know, say somebody's grandkid or kid comes and says, "Hey, I'm trans," you know what your answer is? I love you. That's all.
And this is really the last thing I'll say. And because when you start to get the inkling, whether you're trans, gay, whatever, your first thought is, oh, shit, I'm the only one.
Yes, we are all the only one.
Yes, and when you find people – I never will forget the first time I went to Pride and I walked out of the subway, right, and it already had gone on, and the dykes on bikes were traditionally the first group to come by, and I saw all these people, and I'm like, oh – okay, and so when you find out there are other people,
yeah, I got my first Pride coming up, and I'm so excited, and I'm worried about what to wear.
Just be careful, you know. Don't wear anything too nice because all those people LARPing.
You mean the LARPing and the smocking and the grabalating?
The grabalating, and you'll get, and it's usually hot and gross, and there's a million people, and blah 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 blah. I don't know what they'll have up here, because it's interesting because the city is supposed to open on July 1st, which is the day after Pride ends.
Wonder if that was planned.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I doubt it. July 1st is just, I think it's. Well, it's actually after, that's the first day of the second half of the year.
Right.
I think it had more to do with that and the in anticipation of the 4th of July weekend or 4th of July. In any event, if you're interested in possibly coming up, you know, shoot me an email and we can. I don't know what's going to happen. It could very well be that they're not going to have it.
Well, they'll have a little one over in Beckley, and they'll have a little one, or relatively well, somewhat small, larger one in Charleston or Huntington. I'll figure something out. I feel like I need to stay in my own community for my first.
Oh, okay. No, I get you. Because I promise you, you're going to go there and you're going to see people who are trans and lesbian and gay and be like, oh shit. Her or him?
Oh, I've got some new friends who might go with me.
And there's people going to say that about you too, so be prepared.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's going to be fun.
It's okay.
Fucking savor it. savor it. Okay, I'm going to go because really did take.
You did not take too much time. It's always a delight. Okay. You're a wonderful person, and I love our conversations. You take care, Steve.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Steve. Bye. And that's our buddy Steve calling from Gotham. Before I go over to the stress line, a couple of astute observations, as they always are, from our pal Matt. We gays have Milo. Every group has a sellout willing to say whatever the religious nut jobs want said. And damned if that isn't true. And as for Bill Gates and Melinda getting divorced, Matt said, subject line, complicated. I know relationships are complicated, but really, how much of an asshole do you have to be for your partner to say, I realize you're one of the richest men on earth, but I can't stand another minute with you. Oh, Matt. I mean, that's true. Not one more second. Not one. And Randy in PA pointed out Bezos was fooling around when Mohammed bin Bonesaw hacked his phone and he lost $70 billion in his resultant divorce. God, that's one expensive fuck. Hope it was good. Yeah. Okay. That's cowbells for both Randy Bradar and Matt. Not one more second. Not one more second. And Jude, and thank you, Jude, for jumping in on fundraising this evening. Thank you so much. Jude said, if I may, dear Robin, there is a deep need for personal intimacy, the intimacy of being fully open to our inner self. The tragedy these dominionist Christians appear to have, sister, is in no connection with this or their innerness. They cover their essence with mandates, judgments, biblical words, harsh pastors, and fears. So the aspect of any sexuality that's perceived renders them captive. Our sensual nature is beautiful, and when we embrace this aspect, we expand, we bloom, we simply are at home within ourselves. For so many, sexuality, as they prove by their condescending actions, is dark, impure, bad. And that's why they attack others. They have to, sadly. It simply drives them crazy, for they know not of whom they are as a fully functioning human being. I hope this makes sense, dear sister. It makes perfect sense. They are stunted. They are incapable of real intimacy. And for oh so many, especially on the male side of the fundamentalist evil jealousism, it has nothing to do with intimacy and everything to do with power. Power. And again, I come back. Remember, the goddamn Bronze Age model that we call marriage was, for the vast majority of human sedentary humanity's history, a property transfer. Property. All right, over to the stress line and the last conversation of the night. Hey, welcome to the program. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, no problem, Robin. Able-bodied people still drive me crazy.
I understand. I understand. Or at least I try. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I emailed you earlier about... that I'm going to be sending $35 your way.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And that's to help keep you going. But I have a little bit of news.
Yes?
I lost my phone earlier today. I lost my phone earlier today in the cab on the way to the bank. I retraced my steps. The bank called my phone, and the cab driver answered. So I arranged for him to come and pick me up, take me back home, give me my phone, and I gave him the biggest tip I've ever given a cabbie in my life. The whole round trip cost me $50, but 20 of that was my reward to him for finding my phone and getting it back to me.
And being a decent human being. Yeah, it's been a day.
And he and I got into a fascinating conversation about LeBron James. But I heard from Christine early this morning. She suffers from fibromyalgia.
Ugh.
And the nursing home has medication that the VA sent over. And they have not given it to her, even though she's asked for it. And I have to look up the agency in Indiana that helped me out when I was a teenager. But they used to be called Indiana Protection and Advocacy for the Developmentally Disabled. They've shortened that down to something a little less mouthful. But basically their job is to protect disabled people from abuse and exploitation. And I told Christine, I said, I think you better talk to these people because that's their job.
Oh, that's how many hurdles does she have to, how many flaming barbed wire hoops does she have to jump through, Dave?
I don't know, but she asked for a very simple sign to be put on her door for people to knock on her door to let her know they're there because she's blind. That sounds like a reasonable request to me.
That's not climbing Mount Everest.
And she has demanded proper treatment from the staff. She'll hit the call button on her bed, and it'll take them an hour to get to her. She got where she couldn't move, and she had to reach for the phone and call her sister Kay, who, as I said before, Kay and I are on Christine's powers of attorney.
Right.
And Kay showed up 7 minutes later in the middle of the night and said, can we get my sister some help? They yelled at her saying they were going to call the cops. I said, tell Kay that she has the legal authority to go in there and ask them, can we get my sister some help? Because she holds your medical power of attorney.
Right.
And Kay told them, no, if my sister has to call me to tell me she needs help, I'm showing up. I said, the only thing I would have done differently is I'd have had the cops with me. Because then an official report would have had to have been made.
Yep.
And so I got Christine to agree to talk to the state agency about what they've been doing. The VA didn't send her to the nursing home that she had asked them to. There was a nursing home ready to take
her. Yeah, we talked about that.
And I don't think she would have had nearly the trouble getting her medications or anything like that. And I'm not saying that because my nephew's ex-wife is the DON over there. I'm really concerned, Robin. She's like, oh, let Kay handle it. I'm like, okay, honey, but let me explain to you about what this agency does. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience.
Right.
I mean, hell, they even went in with me when I was having problems with the Social Security Administration, and the guy at the Social Security office sat up and took notice when the state of Indiana took an interest in my case because there was going to be another government looking over their shoulder. So advocacy is one thing I don't lack. anything for. As far as your first pride, dress comfortably. It's going to be hot.
Well, it will be. It will be.
You know, no heels. You know,
no.
Sensible, thoughtful shoes.
The best thing I have bought so far, and it's kind of wild because of how perfectly they fit, mm-hmm. is a pair of those classic leather Keds.
Ooh, and are we talking the high top?
No. These are just low cuts. They're the classic. Okay. You know, they got the rounded toe, and I promptly screwed them up by, you know, they're white, so I promptly screwed them up by mowing the grass in them. But oh my God, they're comfortable.
And they're the best shoes you'll ever own.
I think they probably are the best shoes I've ever worn.
I know when I got diagnosed with diabetes, my doctor looked over at me and he says, well, get rid of your hard-soled shoes. And I worked in an office. And I was like, well, where the hell do I get soft-soled shoes that have leather uppers, you know? And finally, my manager looked over at me and he says, I go down here to this store and ask them for this. Since I've got like three pairs of them and they won't hurt your feet. And Robin, they were the best shoes I ever wore in the office. I felt comfortable. I felt professional. And, you know, people say, oh, you dress because that's what they expect you. No, you dress that way and they expect you to dress that way because that gives you the confidence to perform the job.
Bingo.
And you know.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons, Dave, that I'm doing the whole trying to clean out the studio thing to make this place more video friendly. And there's going to, you know, so.
You're going video?
Yeah.
I think that's great. I remember when you did the Facebook Live stuff.
Yeah.
When you were down in Alabama. That was some great stuff.
Well, this will be slightly different. This will be slightly different. But,
well,
I mean, for obvious reasons.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it because I know you'll do your best.
I ordered a green screen. So I can, like, project the, I don't know, the New River Gorge or something like that. Like, I'm floating over the damn gorge.
Ooh, now that'd be pretty. You know, I've seen pictures of that you've posted. That looks like one of those places that I would love to be in. I don't remember whether I went to West Virginia as a kid or not. We traveled a lot when I was a kid. And I would see all these different places. And I got to say, the pictures I saw of the New River Gorge are some of the best I've ever seen.
Oh,
and my sister and her family are involved in scouting. And they would go to World Jamboree every summer. And that's in West Virginia.
Yeah, and in fact,
is that every four years
or every 5 years? But I remember when Trump made a mockery of it in 2017.
Well, it's like every 4 years.
So this I don't know what the pandemic does to it either. So,
I don't think they do either. But and what the bankruptcy situation with the BSA is, because evidently during World Jamboree, both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts have been going to that function together. And my nephew became an Eagle Scout a couple of years ago, and he went there and. Kathy had even been to Beckley. So, because I mentioned that if she got lost in Beckley, West Virginia, I know somebody who could find her. But she said, oh, I think I ate at an Italian restaurant there once. I said, well, it was then. She said, and it was good. I said, well, that's because there were a lot of Italians that went and worked in the mines years ago.
Yep. We got a couple of nice places in Beckley. Well, Dave, I'm going to, I appreciate your patience and waiting. And, it's great to hear from you. Please continue. Please tell Christine to, keep getting better and, you know, listen to good advice. And I don't think anybody has to, and I don't think anybody has to tell Christine not to take any shit.
Well, like she said yesterday, she said, I finally showed my ass. They told her to go back to her room, and she said, until you address this, I'm not going to, and I'm not going to be quiet about it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, and I know her.
She'll nail it to the wall. Dave, take care of yourself. Have yourself a good evening. And again, please tell her how she's constantly in our thoughts.
I will, and she does, and she appreciates it.
And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, please send my best regards to Mankind Dave.
Well, as Ms. Foley and I would say, yeah, okay, not a problem.
In a van down by the river.
Hey, I remember when I did that voice work for $25.
Dave, have a good night, man. Take care.
All right, man. Bye.
See ya. Our pal Dave in Tallahassee, in the blind. Keeping an eye on the boys down at the shop, Crazy Dave's House of Crucifixions, and taking care of Christine at the same time. What a wonderful, wonderful community we have. Thanks, everybody, for joining in the conversation this evening in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you. Thanks for supporting the challenge this evening to Chris in Germany and to Ralphs. And thank you to Rico in the Wondrousburg. Thank you all so much. You are all dear. And you are why this continues to happen. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. As I said earlier in the program, this would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And, you know, it's okay to check in with them and mention it to them from time to time if you haven't heard from them in a couple of months or weeks or however you prefer to do it. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine when you can. If you've already gotten your vaccine, do please continue to be safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Keep your social distance. And, you know, for God's sakes, If somebody comes toward you talking about how we got some of them transgender type kids, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all.